KXCV began broadcasting 50 years ago today. To celebrate the milestone, we will be taking a look back at the years the station has been serving listeners. Patty Hawley spoke to the station's first station manager and one of the people responsible for building the station, Raleigh Stallman.
You began here as a student, is that correct?
Yes, I went to Northwest Missouri State in 1965 and ended up joining the radio club, the KDLX Radio Club, and eventually became president of the radio club. And then when I graduated, the president hired me to stay on and help build KXCV.
Why did talks begin about building a public radio station on campus rather than just a club?
Well, our radio station was basically just a bunch of students and had a student or a faculty sponsor. And we ran a telephone line over to Dr. Foster's home there on campus so that he could listen to KDLX. And we don't know if it was because he could see the potential for radio or if we scared him to death, but he hired Kath Cushman to be our new sponsor. And she came in and said that she thought we should have a 100-watt radio station. And we all thought she was crazy because we couldn't even get money to buy a microphone, much less, you know, a transmitter. At the time, we were just in the dormitories in a thing called carrier current, which went through the electrical wiring of the building. But anyway, Catherine Cushman had these great plans, and so she started writing grants and going off on adventures to public radio stations in the area and decided that we should have a public radio station. Actually, it was an educational radio station. And so she started writing grants and looking around, and pretty soon she ended up getting one of the first grants in the state of Missouri to build an educational radio station at Northwest Missouri State College.
Do you happen to know how much money that would have been?
It was about $100,000. It's interesting because when we first started off, we were going to build, I think, a 10,000-watt station, and pretty soon it was going to be a 100,000-watt station. And I went home as a student and went to my parents' home and was listening to the radio up there, and I noticed the little stereo light on, and I thought, oh. So when I went back, I told her, I said, you know, if we're doing this, we might as well do it in stereo. And so she thought that was a great idea, and so we became a 100,000-watt stereo FM station. Now, the interesting thing was is that when we signed on the air, we were the first FM station in the area, and nobody had FM radios. At the time, when you bought a car, if you wanted an FM radio in the car, that had to be an add-on. As a matter of fact, they didn't even really come with AM radios. That was an option. So then an AM-FM radio was more expensive, but there were no FM radio stations in the area.
That's pretty optimistic, though, too.
Yes. When we signed the station on the air, there was no FM radios in the area. And the frequency of the FM educational band is very close to the television FM band that they use for the audio for television. And so when we signed on, we also knocked off the audio for, I think it was Channel 6 out of Omaha. And so people were very upset with us.
So it was a little rocky to begin with.
Yes, we had to go around to everyone's home and install filters so that would filter out the radio station into their television so they could get the audio on Channel 6. And so, you know, we started off basically with no one able to listen to us and people mad because they couldn't watch their television station out of Omaha.
So what was your role in all of this?
I was hired as a station manager. Catherine Cushman was the director of radio, and I was a station manager. And then we hired John Perkins to be the engineer. So it was the three of us that started off the radio station. And we had a secretarial position, too, and I can't remember who that was yet.
The station announcers are students at Northwest Missouri State University. Was that the mission at the beginning?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it was kind of unique because it was educational radio, but it was also a training ground for student announcers in our in our broadcasting area. And most stations across the country wouldn't put students on the air because they didn't feel they were good enough. And our position was is that we were training student announcers, and at some point they were good enough for these other stations to hire them. Why shouldn't we be using them at Northwest Missouri State on the air? So that was one of the unique things about Northwest, and I'm just happy to say that's a tradition that's carried on, and I think it's one of the things that makes us special.
You know, when you were hired for that position, nobody could hear you. There were all kinds of problems with people complaining. You didn't have a staff. Why would you accept something like that?
Well, I had been working on it as a student for over a year, and we were just starting to build it when Dr. Foster called me down to his office and wanted to know if I'd like to stay on full time after graduation. And I jumped at the chance, partially because I was young and didn't understand what I was getting into. And also, the funny thing was, is that we worked really hard, you know, pulling wires and hooking things up and getting equipment in. And all of a sudden, we were ready to sign on the air, and we realized we needed to have, at the time, we were going to go from 7 o'clock in the morning to midnight, 365 days a year. We just really didn't have any programming, and this was before National Public Radio. So we had to do all of our own programming. And that was kind of interesting.
So what kind of programming did you produce for the station?
Well, we had a morning radio show, and we had news and sports, and then Agri-News and Views with Dr. Bill Treese. That was at 7:30 every morning, where we answered questions about gardening and agriculture and that sort of thing. And then we had Agri-News, Today's Homemakers for Men and Women. That was at 9 o'clock. And we did interviews with home economics professors and students, and gave people, you know, just basically tips on how to run a household or just make a recipe. Or we did recipes on the air, and then we had a lot of classical music, which was interesting because most of our student announcers, the only classical music they knew was either from background music for a Walt Disney cartoon or the theme from the Lone Ranger. But, you know, for the most part, folks in the Midwest weren't big classical music aficionados. And so we had to teach them all of the pronunciation. I'm sure you do that to this day, and have our students start to gather up an appreciation for classical music. The one live program that we had that wasn't from Northwest was the opera, the Texaco Metropolitan Opera out of New York. We had a phone line brought into the radio station, and we were able to broadcast that. And then while we were having trouble knocking everybody off the air, I had a scathing letter sent to me by a woman, and she said, you know, since you've gone on the air, all I can get is static and stereo. And I thought, wow, what a great name for a radio program. And so we had a program called Static and Stereo that started every night at 10 o'clock, and it was rock music. And that was kind of the carrot on the stick for our student announcers. If they could get through the classical music program, they could play rock music on KXCV from 10 to midnight.
And these were students producing all of these programs except for the opera?
Well, you know, we did interviews. I did interviews. Catherine basically would take care of getting all of the classical music together and doing the program guide and things of that nature. And I would do a lot of interviews. And eventually we were able to scrounge up enough money to hire a news director. And and then we got a grant, and we were able to hire what we called an operations manager, who was a person that did more of the production and interviews. And that was kind of our staff for a long time.
So you saw a lot of staff changes from the beginning until that point. What other changes did you see in programming and student interest in KXCV?
Well, the first big thing was play-by-play sports. We had a couple of people, Bill Allerman and Frank Mandarino, wanted to do play-by-play sports. And we talked Carolyn Cushman into doing that. And so we started following Bearcat football and basketball, both men and women's basketball and Bearcat football. And then when Bill and Frank graduated, I kind of started a little sports broadcasting program to train people to become play-by-play announcers. And John Coffey, I don't know if you've ever heard of John Coffey or not. He was one of my students way back when.
As a matter of fact, I have heard of him.
And so we did that. And then we were one of the, we could have been one of the very first stations to be on National Public Radio, but they couldn't get a phone line run to us at that time. So we were about 3 weeks late being on the inaugural broadcast of National Public Radio. But after that, we were one of the first 90 stations in the country to have National Public Radio. And then, you know, the big change was going to satellite. And we were one of the first stations in the country to be on the satellite. I was on the satellite development unit with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and KXCV was one of the first ones to sign on the air with a satellite dish. And then, of course, the fire came and burned us down, and we got to move around a lot.
You were really cutting edge, though.
We, you know, it was, Dr. Bob Volkin always used to make fun of us because we would always say we were cutting edge, and he would just roll his eyes, but we had the very best equipment that was available at the time, and since we started off, when I started off at KDLX, we had a control board that was made out of a breadboard and a bunch of spare parts from the Ham Radio Club, and so to sit down in front of a Gates control board, you know, that was just a dream. And the fact that we were stereo and the fact that we were 100,000 watts, we were the first 100,000 watt public or educational radio station in the state of Missouri. And it was exciting times. Really proud of it. Proud of what, you know, I can't believe it's been 50 years. That just doesn't seem possible.
It is amazing. But for you, I would think it's very rewarding knowing that this program is still a strong program. The mission to educate students and educate listeners remains. It's quite a legacy for you.
Yeah, well, I'm always proud of it. I signed KXCV on the air, and I was the first radio program and first announcer on the air. And I say announcer because I know that John Perkins had to do some tests before I got on the air, but I was the first announcer, and I was the one that read the sign on that KXCV begins broadcasting. So I was always proud of that.
Well, I'm very proud of this program. I've been involved in it, and I do want to thank you for all of the hard work that you put into it, because you've made something that has grown and really does serve this area, and I appreciate it. So thank you for all that work. It's very nice that you did that.
Well, thank you, Patty, and just wish you best for the next 50 years.
Well, we'll try to make you proud.
You do, every day.
That was KXCV's first station manager and one of the people responsible for putting KXCV on the air 50 years ago, Raleigh Stallman.